Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. The Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so and I'll hopefully we'll have something up there Wednesday. Dan may have to write it, but we'll should have something up there for you Wednesday. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan.
All right, Dan, we have I don't even know if you want to call this interesting, but we have a situation here in the NFL. You know, Thursday night was Thanksgiving. Of course, they have the big games, and, you know, you're always going to get the Cowboys and the Lions, and then they've added a third game now, which is normally the best matchup of them all. And this Thanksgiving, it was supposed to be the Ravens and the Steelers, which, of course, is a marquee matchup in the AFC. The Steelers are undefeated. Well, the Ravens had a COVID-19 outbreak, and they have been unable to practice for coming up on almost 10 days or so. So they moved the game. They moved it originally to Sunday. It was still – the Ravens were still in too bad of a situation to play, so they moved it to Tuesday. Now sources are reporting, Dan, that it looks like this game is going to be pushed back again to either Wednesday or Thursday. Now, what I find interesting about this, Dan, is obviously this is a marquee matchup. Ravens-Steelers is huge. You know, I'm sure a lot of people would have watched it Thanksgiving night. Well, yesterday we had a situation where, and this was known a couple days ago, that all three of the quarterbacks on the Denver Broncos roster were going to be ineligible to play because either testing positive for COVID-19 or from contract tracing. Now, they didn't reschedule the Broncos game with the New Orleans Saints. Denver actually had to pull a wide receiver off their practice squad by the name of Kendall Hilton, who had some experience as a quarterback in college. Dan, he ended up going 1-for-9 for 13 yards, threw two picks, and was sacked once. The Broncos got annihilated by the Saints 31-3. Is it just the fact that the Ravens-Steelers is such a better matchup and a more important game that they got moved and the Broncos were just basically served up to the Saints?
Pretty much. I think I've had everyone as a quarterback. Trying to fill my spots.
I think your Bluetooth is coming out. You're slipping again there. Okay, that's much better. So,
I didn't realize the Ravens were that big of a game. I mean, I get it. It's in division, but, you know, it's not like the Ravens are going anywhere, right?
Well, they're 6-4, so they're a borderline playoff team. You know, and remember, Lamar Jackson was the league MVP last year. So, you know, this is one of the big-time AFC rivalry-type games that, you know, they like to get on. Kind of like the Bears-Packers was the Sunday night game, even though anybody who just wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid knew the Bears were going to get destroyed like they did. So, You know, they like to run these games out there where they can get ratings, and Steelers Ravens would be a game that would get ratings.
I guess. I mean, I think obviously with the Steelers in it, you got an undefeated team. You know, everyone's going to want to watch them. I just didn't realize there was a significance with the Ravens. But I guess it's because they're also in a division with the Browns and the Bengals who haven't done anything for a while. So.
Well, I believe the Browns, your Brownies did win yesterday.
Yeah, well,
and
well,
I think
at 8-3, so it's the first time they've done since they came back to Cleveland.
You know, they're looking like they're gonna. You know, remember the playoffs are expanded, so they're probably going to, you know, going in one way or the other this year. But they may legitimately earn a spot here. You know, they're the. They would be the top wild card team as of right now, so they you know they could get in. While you know the Ravens are since the Raiders embarrassingly lost to the Falcons yesterday, the Ravens are actually currently holding, I believe, the last playoff spot in the AFC. So it's they're we're getting to the point where it's big, you know, big time games for all these people. So. You know, and I also wonder, Dan, you know, because obviously the NFL is run on marquee matchups and TV ratings. You know, that Saints-Broncos game was on television at the same time as the Kansas City Chiefs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if you weren't a Saints or a Bronco fan, are you even turning that game on?
No.
So, you know, just kind of interesting. But yeah, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it hasn't stopped the media guys from complaining about the NFL, you know, making another money grab, even though we have college football and now college basketball doing the exact same thing. Somehow they seem to be exempt from the complaints, but the NFL, we have to kill the NFL. Because it's just too big. And it's like, God, guys, just shut up. You know, we need sports. We need to find a way to play sports. They're playing sports. Just let them do their thing and make their own judgment. Yeah, so it's like, God, just please shut up. I'm just tired of hearing it.
Well, and the other side of it too, Big Jack, you know, the biggest complaint usually comes from the other sports. You know, when you think about baseball, you know, God forbid you have to cover 162 games. Season,
yep.
At least with the NFL, you're only working one day a week. You know, where you actually have to do
well, you know, you do have to go to the practice facility and stuff and try to get stories.
Oh, you do.
You know. But I'm sure you're not there very long.
Yeah. You can go there and get in and out when you want, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, let me complain about the guy who pays my check.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing, is it's like I'm going to complain and complain and complain, but this is how I make my living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are your other options? You're writing, you know, the obituaries or something? You know, is that where you end up? You're a sports writer. Would you rather be covering the NFL or, you know, Major League Soccer? You know, nothing against soccer. It's just, you know, football obviously is the more popular sport and more people, at least in America. Don't get me on that one. And people are going to read more of your stuff here. So it's just like, God, shut up.
Well, it could be worse than covering extreme dodgeball on Netflix or something like that.
Right. You know, yeah, you could be, you know, covering some of the sports that Stu and I talked about on last Friday that we just happened to come across on the TV. You know, you could be the American Cornhole League reporter if, you know, things, you know, if you're not careful. So, but yeah, and, you know, some other COVID-19 NFL news, the San Francisco 49ers have had to move two of their games. They will play week 13 and week 14 in Arizona. because Santa Clara County, where the 49ers stadium is located, has now put a ban on contact sports, even though the NFL has basically said that, you know, COVID-19 hasn't been spread on the field. You know, they've had some other off-field issues, and I know the Saints were just fined and penalized a draft pick, and I believe the Patriots were just fined for a violation of that. So, you know, but, you know how it is here, Dan. You know, every county does its own thing. You know, so this is what Santa Clara is doing, and the 49ers are going to abide by it and move a couple games to Arizona. When are we getting that vaccine? Dan, when are we getting that vaccine? I'm really just tired of this.
Yeah, well, everyone's going to be disappointed when they start taking the shots and all that stuff with COVID after getting the vaccine. I don't know why I got it.
They're gonna give you a shot with a tracking chip in it, and nobody's gonna know. And other than they're gonna know where you are at all times. So, they're doing that to the babies now. But see, I was born before that, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you
are. But yeah, obviously, with the exception of Ravens, we do have a Monday night game, Dan. It's the 7-3 Seattle Seahawks against the 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles. So I will actually get to watch the majority of that because I'm not going into work tomorrow, so I'll get to see the Seahawks play a little bit. Unfortunately, I don't need anything out of the fantasy guys I have in that because my games are pretty well decided. Do you have anybody going where you need a stat, or are you pretty well set in your leagues too for this week?
I'm pretty well set, but of course I'm looking to see what Lockett will do.
Yeah, I have DK Metcalf on a team, but that's the team I mentioned to Dan earlier. I'm playing the team in our auction league that's in dead last place. They haven't won a game, and this guy quit changing his lineups, we, you know, probably right after week one. So, I've already got that game locked up. So I'm just interested to see what kind of numbers Metcalf can put up. And hopefully he stays healthy. That's the bigger thing. Because, yeah, I don't need to deal with any more injuries. But did you see Yahoo did make a designation for COVID-19 players so you won't have to – use IR spots or NA spots or whatever they give you? Did you see they finally came up with that a couple weeks ago?
No, is it just you just put them in the damn COVID spot?
Yeah, basically it's just like having an extra IR spot. I don't know how many spots they gave because luckily all my guys that I had lost to COVID-19 earlier in the season are back. But yeah, instead of having, because like there's in a lot of leagues, and I think ours is like this, you have a limited number of IR moves you can make in a week. So this way, you're not using up your IR moves to get, you know, COVID-19 players, you know, where it's going to cost you stuff where you may need it down the road. So I thought that was a nice designation for them. I still wish they would do the NA stuff like you've talked about a bazillion times, and I think you even emailed them about it, but as you know, so far no luck in football.
Well, I mean, that was more for suspensions and such, and you know,
right.
Yahoo's on this super moral high road, extremely moral high road.
Well, aren't we all?
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll leave my comments to myself, but if I didn't know any better, I would have thought they were based in Utah.
But, yeah, so and then we did have, you know, some early firings. The Detroit Lions cleaned house. They packed up head coach Matt Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn are out. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars just canned their general manager,
mm-hmm.
and I'm drawing a blank on what his name is. Let me see if I can.
Doesn't matter. He's fired.
Right. He did say, however, the coaching staff is apparently safe for the remainder of the season. I don't know how much confidence that gives everybody, but the general manager's name was Dave Caldwell. And interestingly, Dan, they're getting rid of him before. They have a slew of draft picks for next year. They have 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. So, you know, and it looks like they're going to land pretty high up in the draft, considering their, God, what are they? They're did they win 3 games or 4 games? I always forget. Oh no, they're 1-10. I always mix them up with Carolina. So yeah, they're actually in position to get the number one pick if the Jets could find a way to beat a couple people. So yeah, whoever takes this job over, Dan, is going to be handed a quality situation to rebuild. So I'm assuming guys are going to be lining up to get that job, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's interesting because you look at it and, you know, Jags owner Shad Khan, you know, he had the appreciate you for all your service to this team and your lovely 39-87 record. So, you know, I mean, Khan said all the right things. He was, you know, Dave was committed, determined, bring a winner. You know, those are the key words you are looking for. And, yeah, I don't think this guy gets another job because, no offense, Dave, but I probably could have gotten 40 wins. Just kidding.
Yeah, and, this was a guy who gave Nick Foles a big free agent contract. Luckily enough, he was actually able to get something for him when he traded him to the Bears. Not much, but something. So...
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you're coming looking at it from the owner's point of view and the fan's point of view, especially at a time when there's nobody in the stands, I mean, why even drag out the rest of the season? You know, like you said, the draft is going to put them, should put them in a good position coming up for 2021. So why not get rid of this guy, get someone new in that office in the next month? You know, they'll have time to... you know, get to know the personnel, so to speak, because obviously he probably won't meet anybody in person, he or she. I'm not going to take that out because I think they just hired a female general manager in the league somewhere. I forgot what team or whatever. So, you know, I think it's a good time. You get to know the personnel if they want to keep the coaches and then work with everybody to kind of figure out what you're going to draft and figure out what happened with why Blake didn't work out and try not to repeat that mistake, right?
Yeah, because they'll probably take a quarterback with that first or second pick. So,
you mean they're not going to trade for Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, no, they don't need to trade for him. They can sign him. He'll be a free agent. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of teams, you know, they make this move. I mean, if you know it's something you're going to do by the end of the season, you might as well do it now. So, you know, a lot of, like Dan said, you can get guys in there and start evaluating the talent you had. And then it also gives you the entire market, you know, while you may be competing against some other teams. You know, you officially have an opening, so that gives you a little bit of a, you know, advantage because now, you know, they can go around and say, hey, we've got all these draft picks. How would you like to help us rebuild this team? So.
And, I mean, do you know how much time he had left? You know, it says he came in 2013, so he's.
Yeah, no, the article didn't say. My guess is, you know, he maybe, if he was lucky, a year or two. But, you know, fortunately the Jaguars aren't like our local team here, the Bears, and they don't mind terminating guys if they still have a year or two on their contract. You know, the Bears don't like to pay those guys when, you know, when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So
they did once, even though I think keeping him on the team would have probably would have did better. But, you know, and I was going to make that smart-ass comment because that's why that's part of the reason I asked, you know, how long, if you knew the terms of Caldwell's contract.
Yeah.
You know, because I just feel for Bears fans. You know, I live here. I guess I have a, you know, starter jacket. I guess I'm a Bears fan, but not to the 10th degree. You know, I won't wear any Packers stuff. That makes me feel better about it. But, I mean, you know, I think we've discussed this numerous times. I don't understand how you could just go die hard into the team every single year, especially knowing, you know, and it's no secret. I mean, every one of my friends on Facebook that, you know, if you – all you have to do is serve up that Kool-Aid. It doesn't matter what color it is. You just put it in a Bears cup and, you know, put a fancy defensive name on it, you know, Briggs, you know, whoever. And you know, they eat it up and they love it. They're Bears all day, every day. And, you know, even my friends yesterday were going, no, I know this is wrong, but I'm going right back into it. Let's go, Mitch, you know, all in on it. And then retracted his statement later and said, hey, I'm getting back to reality. Bears suck. But, you know, if anyone's in agreement, and is the fact that Lynn McCaskey's let Georgia own it, but the rest of the family needs to be put on a trust fund and out of the office, should have nothing to do with the team. Because, I mean, you know, it's like going back to a dry well every year for the last 30 years. You know, there's nothing there. What are we still doing sending the bucket down every day for 30 years?
Yeah, I, you know, I mean, obviously living in the area, I would like to see the Bears do well, but I'm not going to, you know, it's so hard to go all in on the team. And, you know, there was some hope, you know, that first year Trubisky played, they were really good. The offense was really good. The defense has been good for a long time, but now you're starting to see cracks in that. It's just hard now when, you know, because Matt Nagy was supposed to be, you know, an offensive genius, and we were supposed to get this fantastic creative offense, and for some reason they forgot that you need to block guys to have any type of offense, and they totally neglected the offensive line, and you can see it now. I mean, you know, Nick Foles is lucky he hasn't been killed because he can't run away like Trubisky can.
Which is why it hurt.
But there's still a chance he could, you know, because he'll probably be back next week to play. There's still a chance he'll get hurt again. So we may not have seen the last of Mitchell Trubisky. But, you know, either way, I mean, it's bad and they're stuck. And it's going to take a while to fix it. It's not going to be an overnight thing because – you know, you can't have any confidence in Ryan Pace with the way he's drafted that he's going to be able to fix this.
Okay. Well, and, you know, here's something I just want to throw at you real quick, and then I have one more for you. Urban Meyer. You know, I've seen some of my friends. Oh, I wish Urban Meyer would come here. And you know, I didn't really get too many positive responses from my comment, and I think you know exactly where I'm going to go. So what I'm about to say, you're not going to be surprised by it at all. I simply said, why would Urban Meyer come here? No offense, you guys. I get it. You got to reach for the stars. You want to, you know what I mean? You want to think positively, and I'm here to be that jerk who just shuts you down immediately and kills your dreams. And I hate to be that guy, but here we go. Why would Urban Meyer want to come here? Why would any established college coach, big-time college coach, or any established head coach want to coach the Bears. Since, I can't remember who was the coach before Lovey, but if you think about it, and I'm not saying Lovey was desperate, but every coach that the Bears have hired has been a first-time coach. And if you know that history so far, and of course you could speak a little bit more on between the Ditka and Lovey days, which does kind of span a big time period. But when you see that, and you're an established guy like Urban Meyer, Bears call me, I'm not going there. Why would I go there? I can make more money in college. And you know me, I don't know the first thing about football. I couldn't run anything. And so hearing Urban Meyer talk, he kind of blows my mind because he just sounds like a guy that really knows what he's doing. But unless you put Urban Meyer in as like the president and let him run the team, why would he come here? Why would an established coach want to come to the Bears and coach the team? Aside from the players, you have to take the players out of the equation. Because let's be honest, there's going to be guys that you love and hate. But when all these guys get together, they form a bond. And, you're going to do it for the coach. The coach is going to do it for the players. So take that out of there. Strictly from a business standpoint, why would anybody other than a guy who wants his first head coach job come to the Bears? Can you answer
right.
that?
Well, and to be fair, the Bears did hire John Fox, who had NFL experience. And all they did was lead them to 3 last place finishes in the division. So, yeah. But, yeah, when you look at it, I mean, there are, like a guy like Urban Meyer, he understands that he's a college football coach. And in college, remember, these guys can control everything that has to do with the players. It's not like that in the NFL. You can't tell an NFL player how to live every single aspect of their lives like you can with a college kid. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys who are ultimately successful, like an Urban Meyer, Nick Saban came to the NFL for 1 year and realized he couldn't handle it, turned right around and went right back to college. Now people will tell you he's the greatest college football coach of all time. Failure in the NFL. So I not only, and while it would be great to be, we've got Urban Meyer, you got to wonder if he'd be successful. Those are the names you want to hear. When there's an opening, you want to hear that, the Bears are going after the Urban Meyers or – we're going to try to get Sean Payton to leave the Saints, and things like that. Those are the things you want to hear your team doing. But in reality, if this job opens up, my guess, the real contenders are going to be Eric Bieniemy, who actually has the same job Matt Nagy had before the Bears hired him. He's technically the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, but Andy Reid calls the plays. So, both the New Orleans coordinators will be high on people's list. Dennis Allen, who's the defensive guy, will get a lot of looks. And then Pete Carmichael, who's their offensive coordinator, he'll get a lot of looks. And, remember, Ryan Pace came from New Orleans. So, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make the change and Ryan Pace stays, he hires one of those two guys. Just because of the familiarity. So, but, yeah, don't expect, the Bears aren't, Mike Ditka's not coming back, and I doubt they would hire Bill O'Brien, who the Texans canned after a bad start. You're not going to see a big time NFL name in the Bears job. It's just not going to happen.
No, so, it's another one of those things where, I get it, the fan side of you is really not going to think about the business side of it. And you know, maybe that was the biggest problem when I decided to go back to get a master's degree. That hasn't done jack shit for me. So word of advice to anybody out there, do not go to a for-profit school, namely DeVry, not to name any names. But, you know, I look at the business side, too, and you think about how things have worked out. You know, you're an Urban Meyer guy, you know, and you do you, you're, yes, you interview for the team, but don't you, in essence, interview the team also and have to look at the last 10 years of this team? And, you know, if you're in the looking on the last 10 years of this team and you haven't even called anybody yet, you don't have a good perception of this team so far, you know, and you haven't even called anybody yet. So maybe you know somebody who knows somebody who knows Lovey, and then you guys connect, you know, kind of get the inner working stuff that you and I will never hear about, you know, no average fan is ever going to hear about. They won't even talk about it. You know, it's kind of that good old boys club where things just don't get out. But, you know, you start to hear things and you're like, huh, now I see why, you know, now I see why, now I see why. And I guess that's my biggest thing is I just don't, the Bears haven't given me any sense of hope from their internal structure that would make me think that they're going to do anything to really get it to that next hump and start making those hires that are going to make a difference. You know, and kind of go to the Cubs, and, you know, I've been outspoken. Would you say highly critical of Theo or just, I've been critical, whatever it is. But that was the one thing, the one difference the Cubs made when the Ricketts came in. They went in, they went after the hotshot talent, and it really worked out. And, you know, we won't know, both know why. I'm not going to dig into it, why it worked out, how it worked out, and why Theo's gone now. You know, but Theo was able to put that together, and he produced. You know, and that's something we're not seeing from the Bears. And, you know, maybe that's where the idea of new ownership and stuff like that sparks the excitement, you know, like you were talking about with the Mets. You know, obviously not today, but you know what I mean? So to me, it just feels like as a Bears fan, it's almost like you get excited because, you know, it's football season coming up. And then by the time preseason's over and you're into week four, you're already banging your head on the wall going, man, how many more weeks of this do we have? So, I don't know. I just feel like the Bears haven't done anything to show that it's going to get better, you know.
The difference between the Theo Epstein hire and the Ryan Pace hire, Theo Epstein had a track record and had won. Ryan Pace was a general manager who had never been a general manager before. So, again, another first-time guy at his position. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so you kind of see my point with that. The one thing that cracked me up over the weekend, listening to some radio, I don't remember who or what, you know, you get those long weekends, it just merges into one long day. No, because you wouldn't have been talking about this. our local radio guys somewhere over the week, you know, between Thanksgiving and Saturday, were discussing tight ends with, and this is why Big Jack, this is why you won't be talking about it, Big Jack, because I'm going to add the other name, tight ends and the Chicago Bears. You know, they kept bringing up, see, you know exactly where I'm going with this. They just kept talking about it, you know, and how good of a tight end they have and how Nagy's talked about how, you know, he's going to get Komet in, you know, do all this and that. And then the kid gets a few touches in the first half, and then, you know, Nagy completely goes away from the tight end game. And I'm just sitting there laughing, and I'm like, how have you guys been working in Chicago for this long as you have been? And you don't know the Chicago Bears' track record with tight ends. They all go to the, you know, Greg Olsen, Martellus Bennett. You know, you could kind of go on. I'm like, Komet's not going to get any real playing until he goes somewhere else, you know. Bears just don't use tight ends. I just, it just cracked me up. So I just wanted to get your take on it. And you can kind of elaborate, you know, in a more football sense, since I don't know much.
No, you know, and like, you know, that's just such an odd situation. You got to remember, after the draft, the Bears had, I believe it was 10 tight ends on their roster. So I don't know what the plan was, but I know the one tight end they had that they had big hopes for signed a 2-year deal with the Miami Dolphins after he played so well for them this season. So, again, it's the case of another player going somewhere else and performing when given the opportunity in a better system for them. And, you know, you make it – it seems so odd because when you think about Matt Nagy, he came from the Kansas City Chiefs, and Travis Kelce is considered, if not the best, then the second-best tight end in the NFL. So that even leads me more to the fact of he didn't have as much to do with that offense as people think he did. Because it's clear that there's no semblance there. You know, you can add in, remember when David Montgomery was brought in, he was going to be the guy to solve the running back problem, and we didn't need Jordan Howard, even though he had 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. So we get rid of Jordan Howard, and I get it, it's not all Montgomery's fault because the offensive line is terrible, but even when the offensive line is healthy, he hasn't really shown, I know he's had flashes, but he hasn't shown the ability that he can be an every down take over a game type back. And you know, the Tennessee Titans have been on national television the last couple weeks. Boy, it's interesting to watch Derrick Henry play because he just dominates people, but he's given the opportunity to dominate people where Nagy is going to throw the ball no matter what. Doesn't matter how bad your quarterback is, we're going to throw the football. And it kind of leads to the mess we're in where this is it's literally unfixable. I mean, the Bears are years away from being even a wild card contender at this point. And I know everybody got excited because they got lucky and they won some games early in the season they shouldn't have won. And, oh, yeah, we're going to the playoffs and we're going to the Super Bowl. Well, now that the schedule got tougher, yeah, they've lost 5 in a row and they've got no shot in going to the playoffs. So, yeah, welcome to mediocrity again. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, you mentioned baseball, and I want to kind of switch over to that because what I find interesting, and you and I have discussed the Cubs situation a lot because obviously we're in the Chicago area. You're a gigantic Cub fan. Stu is a gigantic Cub fan. I have nothing against the Cubs. I enjoy seeing them do well. What's kind of interesting, Dan, and I don't know if you're kind of kept up with this or how it works out, but the Houston Astros, who started their rebuild a year before the Cubs, are basically at the exact same point where the Cubs are right now. Now, the Astros have had better success getting to and advancing to the playoffs. Oh, who knows how much that had to do with cheating, but we're not going to go into that right now. What is interesting, Dan, though, is the fact that George Springer is a free agent. Michael Brantley is a free agent. They brought Brantley in on a short-term deal. It now appears that not only will the Astros not even attempt to re-sign either of these guys, but the rumors are out there that they're taking offers on Carlos Correa. So, you know, they're basically we're looking at two teams that tore down, rebuild, won World Series, and now they're to the point where they can't either afford or bring back their guys, which is exactly where the Cubs are going to be next year – when Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber hit free agency. So how what do you kind of think about the similarities here with these two teams, and do you think the Astros will handle it better than what the Cubs might?
I think they're kind of stuck in that position. You talked about it before with all those contracts coming up at the same time, the young ones. But I've got a feeling that the Astros are just, they're going to handle it better. You know, you've got the Cubs coming in with a new GM, a new president, a new GM, you know, and a new coach. Granted, you know, Ross has 60 games, but I don't know. I still kind of would consider him a rookie coach coming into next season, you know. So you put that all together, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if Theo's going to, you know, I think Judd's going to be doing this literally all on his own. I think he's not going to be, you know, relying on all at all on Theo. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm sure there's the open line, like, hey, give me coffee, need some advice. But I think he's going to take it on by himself. So I think they come to have the bigger kind of risk of saying it nicely, messing it up. And, you know, and then here's the other track record. The things they do that they think are smart and should work sometimes, you know, seem to be the ones that don't pan out as much. You know, I mean, but, you know, hopefully there's some change in that theory that the big target should be Tommy LaSella. I think he got a lot more.
When you look at where the Astros are right now, they'll have a for sure 7 free agents next year, possibly 9. Two of them, Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers Jr., are in their last year of arbitration, very similar to Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber. You know, like Zach Greinke and Justin Verlander are in the last year of their deals. The only two Astros tied up are Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. So, you know, this is another team that could look really different, maybe not next year, but the year after. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how, you know, they manage this or they handle this. But, you know, unlike the Cubs, you know, it's been mentioned that they are taking offers on Correa, where we've had nothing with the Chris Bryant or the Kyle Schwarber talk, and Correa just turned 26. So, you know, if they were willing to deal him, he would automatically be the second best shortstop on the market behind Lindor. So it's just another weird situation with this team. And you gotta wonder where they go and how they kind of juggle things out.
I mean, do you think that part of it with the Cubs not having any statements out there, you know, any of that stuff, is due to the fact that, you know, COVID, so you're not, you know, obviously the front office, they're not interacting as much, but that we were getting ready for the Theo departure?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're a serious baseball fan, you understood that Theo Epstein wasn't dealing any of his guys. You know, like, if he would have stayed, they wouldn't have traded Bryant. They would have rode out the storm with him and Schwarber, and anybody that Theo drafted would have stayed here with the hope that maybe the Ricketts would give him the money to re-sign these guys. Because, you know, if he could do it, he would have kept the core of this team together forever. And part of the reason he's leaving, or I think the majority of the reason he's leaving, is because he realizes that he can't do that. You know, I don't see the Cubs giving Chris Bryant the $300 million he wants. In all honesty, I don't see anybody giving that to him, but you know, maybe some team will be stupid enough to do it. You know, if they do enact the DH league-wide, which you and I fully expect, then Kyle Schwarber has some value to the Cubs. If not, he needs to go to the American League so he can freaking DH.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. Again, like with the Astros, you know, I'm not surprised they're going to try to bring George Springer back, because he's probably going to get $20 to $25 million with multiple years. And they already have a couple of those contracts with Altuve and Bregman. You know, I'm sure they're going to want to try to bring at least either Verlander or Greinke back, even though they're getting up there in age. They'll probably try to bring one back. So, it makes a lot of sense. You know, again, you know, where the Astros seem to be willing to make changes or open to make changes, under Theo Epstein, the Cubs wouldn't have. Now, I don't know if they will under Jed Hoyer either, who I know signed a 5-year deal. So he's going to be sticking around and going to try to fix this. But good Lord, does he have a mess on his hands. And I honestly hope they do well this year, because it's probably going to be a while again before they manage to get back in the playoffs again. So both these teams are going to be interesting to follow. And I'm kind of interested to see how or who develops what, I'm sure the Astros have the better minor league system. The Cubs are horrendous. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting comparison, because they've been compared for, you know, many years with the rebuilds happening right after each other. So we'll see.
What are your – I guess – how do you think Jed's going to go? And then what would you actually like to see, you know, from Jed? I mean, you know, for me, I don't know which way he's going to go. Are you losing me?
No, you're okay.
I don't know which way Jed's going to go. I would like to see him just rip the Band-Aid off and make decisions, whether they're easy ones, hard ones, but a firm decision, letting us know going forward, this is the kind of guy and this is what I'm actually trying to do and I want to win. You know, I'm hoping to get, like, that statement. And I know those words aren't going to come out, but his actions are, you know, going to kind of prove it. So kind of take it to you. What do you think, which route will you think he'll take? Will he just continue to follow Theo's kind of way of doing things, or – I don't know where to go with it.
Well, you know, I'm kind of in the boat you are. Like, I don't know what he's going to be like yet. We're going to have to see him in action. You know, the problem, of course, now is, you know, Theo screwed him over. You know, they should have moved Schwarber after the World Series when he had humongous value. But by exposing him to playing every day, you showed off the fact that he didn't have as much value as people thought. I don't know why when they, you know, I mean, they slapped Chris Bryant in the face by offering him 10 years and $100 million. That immediately starts negotiations off on bad terms, and he's a Scott Boras guy. You don't want to be in that boat. Once that happened, they should have started looking for deals when they could. I mean, just imagine the value you could have got for Chris Bryant had he had 2 years of arbitration left. You know, there would have been teams cleaning their cupboards. You know, imagine what you could have got from the Phillies, who have Alec Baum, who looks like a really good future third baseman. You know, they would have given you pretty much anything you wanted to get their hands on 2 years of Chris Bryant. They gave up a boatload to get J.P. Realmuto for a couple of years. So, you know, Theo really general managed Jed into a corner. You know, because there's no value left for Chris Bryant. There's no value left for Kyle Schwarber. you know, you could probably get something for Wilson Contreras if you believe Victor Caratini can handle catching every day. Obviously, you'd get a mountain for Javi Baez, but I don't think they want to deal him. And somehow you've got to convince Anthony Rizzo to stay because he's really the heart and soul of your team. So, you know, it's a crappy spot to be in. And it's going to be interesting to see how he gets out of it while trying to keep the team competitive. But, you know, unfortunately, he doesn't have enough bullets to go into a shootout. And I think it's just going to get ugly here before anything.
Oh, this is where – I don't want to forget this one. Everybody,
yes,
everybody, mostly fans. Oh, does Chris Bryant – you know, Chris Bryant holds the grudge.
No, I don't think Chris Bryant does, but you damn well know Scott Boras does.
Yeah. Well, and that's the one thing that drives me nuts. I mean, granted, you know, Chris Bryant, none of the players are really going to come out. Yes, it does happen. You know, players, there's always that one guy who runs his mouth in the media and then, you know, pisses off everybody. Whatever, I don't even care. He could do that. But I've never heard Chris Bryant once make a comment, negatory, in relation to that, you know, that $100 million deal that was thrown out there, or towards Theo, Jed, or anyone in the front office.
Yeah, you know, that may be something we hear after he leaves, but it's not going to happen now, you know. But here, Dan, I heard something today, and I think this is really a fantastic idea by Major League Baseball. I don't know if you caught this, but they announced a new summer league, which will be the MLB Draft League. What they're going to do is have a five-team, 68-game season for the top draft-eligible players to be in. There is a possibility there may be a sixth team, but right now there's just five. The interesting part about this, Dan, is they're going to use wooden bats, which is something that these players don't get to do until they get to the minors. And it's a world of difference hitting with a wooden bat than it is with an aluminum bat. And I got to tell you, Dan, I really like this idea. Right now, the teams are the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, the State College Spikes, the Clinton Thunder, the West Virginia Black Bears, and the Williamsport Cross Cutters. And basically, this is going to kind of, I don't know if it's going to replace or maybe help out with the what they call short season Class A leagues. I don't know if that will be eliminated, but I think it's an interesting thing. And they brought in Kendrick Jackson. He used to be but he was actually the head coach at Southern University, and he is going to be the guy who's setting up this league. Do you? And interesting enough, they will have an All-Star break in mid-June, that coincides with Major League Baseball, so I thought that was pretty funny. You like this idea of getting these kids exposed to what it's like to kind of play in the minors and also swing the wooden bats?
Well, personally, I think it's pretty stupid that you don't get the option in high school or college. Maybe I'm wrong. Of using a wooden bat, I never understood, you know, even as a kid, I hated that noise. I lived in my town growing up by the park.
Yeah, you know why they don't do it in high school and college? Money. An aluminum bat doesn't break.
Oh. All right, well, that makes sense. Still sucks.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I hate the aluminum bats, and I hate seeing the college kids swing them, because you can't tell me a major college program can't afford wooden bats. You know, a lot of the problem, though, is, you know, an aluminum bat can be universal. You know, and I'm sure, you know, when you play in Little League, there's always that one bat that everybody wants to use. Where, you know, with a wooden bat, you know, sometimes you need a different size or a different weight. You know, obviously every major leaguer pays for and, you know, specifies his own bats.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
and not only that. You know, the other side of it is, like you said, money. It's the contracts that they get with the companies that supply the bats.
Right.
So, but you know, I think it's a cool concept.
I would actually watch this. Would you?
Yeah, I think, you know, and this is just the draft picks.
Draft eligible. So they're saying top draft eligible players, and we're looking. It's going to be 30-man rosters, so we're talking about 150 players will be invited to this.
I think it makes more sense. I mean, so you're saying a bunch of kids who are ready for the draft, they get to play, and I think it's a cool concept. Some of the way they went about because they are eliminating minor league teams, Big Jack and. You know, I'm surprised we haven't had a full list of that put out there yet. But for instance, and this comes and you'll laugh, you know, because of me collecting fitted hats. You know, I'm in hat groups and whatnot on Facebook. Yeah, we all got our thing. Leave me alone. You know, but we found out that the Staten Island Yankees, they're one of their minor league teams, is no longer an affiliate of, obviously, the New York Yankees. And the Staten Island Yankees were so surprised by this that they actually had to respond to it. And I wish I had all that up right now. But basically, they found out in the post that was put out. I don't know if it was the Yankees that put it out or minor league baseball. But one of them put out a post with the Yankees minor league teams. And the Staten Island Yankees were no longer listed as an affiliate.
That's a hell of a way to find out.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting in the next, coming few months when these teams start to find out because, you know, and just like you and I went down to South Bend and Andrew Berlin, I believe, is the owner down there. He's trying to, which we got to say, give a shout out to Chris Hakes from Network. So he got a big promotion, Big Jack.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've gone down there, and they're trying to change the culture, so to speak, and making that team for that town. And, you know, the way he's building it up with the housing and, you know, apartments and whatnot, you know, I guess the Staten Island, you know, their community relies on that. And then to just find out you're no longer part of the Yankees. It's like a breakup on a text, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, or you find out you're broken up when you see her with somebody else. So,
yeah.
Well, I hope some of those minor league teams that they get rid of start an independent league so they can continue providing baseball to those towns. Because some of those places were really good baseball towns.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and a lot of the hat guys were like, oh, there's going to be some good clearance sales coming up.
Roll!